Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So anyway, so we have the Men in Black being made into a multi-billion dollar movie franchise consisting of four films. We have the graphic comic book. We have Keel writing about Men in Black. We have Barker writing about Men in Black. And you know how much money they received for all their efforts from the movies? Big fat zero.
Zero. Wow. Boy, ain't that the truth.
Barker never made big money for anything, maybe that first book. They knew too much about flying saucers. As for Keel, he did fairly well, having sold Mothman Prophecies to Hollywood, even though it was a fictionalized account. He made enough money to get a car, I think a Toyota. But he wasn't in that great financial shape after that. Maybe he used up all the money. But it was something that, to him, put him on the map. Not that he wasn't on the map already. He was on the map, certainly, in terms of a lot of the things he did. But this, you know, writing a book, whether a novel or not, that Hollywood buys, what can you say?
Yeah, Keel was interesting. He just had an interesting resume, well-traveled, and, you know, I thought he was a really good writer. And, you know, I liked a lot of his stuff. I liked John Keel a lot.
I remember back in the 70s, 1975, that year where I met Charles Berlitz. I was in New York City. I was working with this fellow who published Beyond Reality magazine with his cable interview show. And then that afternoon or evening, I call Keel. I just want to touch bases with him. I did know him for a number of years. And he said, come on over. So we sat there for 3 or 4 hours talking shop and sharing tea. We just had tea. I don't drink. We didn't have any intoxicants because I drove to New York City. I didn't want to have any problems driving back. And I was living in Pennsylvania at the time, as a matter of fact, in Chester County, Pennsylvania. So anyway, sure, Keel was so much fun. I regret we didn't get him on the Paracast before he passed. I know that we tried. Our original co-host got his number from Tim Beckley, called Keel, and Keel was in his final years and got very crotchety. And his remark in so many words that I can't repeat on terrestrial radio, so much to say that basically, how did you get this phone number? Click. He hung up the phone.
Oh, wow. Too bad. Too bad. I mean, he gave a lot to the UFO community, you know, with his books and his theories. And, good guy. Too bad that he went out that way, you know.
I was looking at old issues of one of my magazines, and I had an article or two from Keel in there. And I also had a lot of letters, sarcastic letters. Now, he has written some stuff that takes us back to the early stages of the UFO field about the man who invented flying saucers, which to him was Ray Palmer. Ray Palmer, you know, by writing about flying saucers in Amazing Stories and then in Fate magazine, brought the subject on the map, of course, with Richard Schaefer and everything. So that was one of the things Keel did. A lot of people dispute the level of Palmer's innovation or power as influencing public opinion, but it was certainly an interesting way of putting it.
Well, during the war years, you know, he talked about the Schaefer mystery, and that was sort of a distraction from, you know, the horrible war that was going on. People listened to this, and they actually believed that, you know, when Ray Palmer put it out there as a true narrative, some people believed them. They had Schaefer mystery groups where they would talk about this. And Richard Schaefer talked about hearing voices, and other people said, yeah, you know, I hear voices too. So it was almost like a therapy session. But the FBI was investigating Palmer and Schaefer for initiating this UFO hysteria, and they claimed that they did this before Kenneth Arnold in Mount Rainier. So they were investigating Palmer and Richard Sharp Schaefer for this. And he claimed that there were discs that were there in the subterranean tunnels that, you know, they were coming out. They talked about also coming out at, from at the North and South Pole. And Palmer later on was big with that. And Palmer was interesting because he would have these, he was big with the letters. So he would go and have a letter and he would write these letters and then he would go and answer them. You know, like he would write a letter from John Doe, create a controversy, and then he would respond to that. But he was all over the place. And, you know, he was pretty interesting. He was like a puppet master. I mean, he gave us, you know, this ufology. He gave us this world of fantasy. You know, I think when we needed it, Palmer was interesting. You know, he was involved in a horrendous accident. He was hit by a truck, and you know, he was a hunchback. He was maybe like 4 foot tall, you know, bent over. But he immersed himself in literature and especially science fiction, and he was well read. And then what was interesting is that after most of this was over, him and Richard Sharpshaver located in Wisconsin. You know, they bought property close to one another. One interesting story that happened was that Kenneth Arnold took Ray Palmer and Richard Sharpshaver for a ride in Arnold's plane over, I think it was Amherst, Wisconsin. So they were to go take a look at the farm property that these guys own. So that was kind of interesting. It must have been a wonderful, that would have been a great narrative to see Ray Palmer, Richard Sharpshaver, and Kenneth Arnold together, you know, just chatting and then comparing notes. So interesting. Well, Palmer was just like such a unique, incredible individual that gave so much, you know, to the field. You know? And even, I mean, you know, there has to be, if you saw the movie Ed Wood, you know, black and white, you know, there needs to be a movie just like that about Ray Palmer and Richard Sharpshaver. I mean, the world demands it and should have that. You know, Palmer was just that, that good, that inventive. And, but what happened was Shaver wrote this letter. And the one editor, I think his name was Brown, read it and crumpled it up and threw it in the trash can. And so Palmer went through the trash and found it and said, no, I'm going to use this. So he rewrote it and published it as the Shaver Mystery and made it sound like it was true. And so that, and he ran with that. I mean, you know, that was, the Shaver Mystery was a really big thing, you know. So rather, back in the 40s, rather than looking into outer space for UFOs, we were going down into the subterranean tunnels and caverns and, you know, and cities and all that. And, you know, just interesting how we did that. But, you know, predicated on people like H.G. Wells and, you know, a lot of other authors who maybe H.P. Lovecraft, you know, authors that did the same thing. So Ray Palmer's, you know, interesting, incredible guy.
By the way, folks, if you check through the Paracast forums, we do have a photograph of Ray Palmer circa 1965, black and white photo of Palmer standing there in front of his home in Amherst, Wisconsin. It was taken by a friend of mine, Rick Hilberg, and I cropped the full photo because I didn't want to show the contrast. But to the right of Palmer, taken out of the photo put in the forum, was me.
Oh, wow.
But I'm standing 6'2", and he's, you know, 4 foot something, so the contrast, I thought, really didn't help the picture, so we have Palmer. Now, my personal suggestion for people who want to know more about Palmer, there's a book from Fred Natus called The Man from Mars.
Yeah.
You're probably familiar with it. It's an excellent summary of Palmer's life and his amazing influence on sci-fi. A lot of our concepts of space opera science fiction emerge from the stories published in Amazing Stories when Palmer was the editor. Because what he did there is, instead of taking hard sci-fi, he made it more entertaining. Fascinating stuff, Palmer. And Palmer, I met him there. I talked to him on the phone a few times, exchanged letters. He was a fascinating gentleman indeed. And I'll give you one observation. We can go on with it in our next segment. But we're talking to Maxim Furyk, Tim Swartz, Gene Steinberg. We started the focus on Philadelphia Experiment, but now we're drifting into other modern folklore from the early days of the UFO field. You're in
the Planetcast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at rockoids.com. That's rockoids, rockoids.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
I was talking about my encounters with Ray Palmer. Now, as Maxim says, his letters to the editor columns were very popular because his responses were extensive. But it wasn't just him rewriting, because he'd write under many different names. The readers wrote their own letters, and one thing that was hinted to me at the time is a friend of his, someone who was also very famous, Otto Binder, a sci-fi writer and editor of the period, told me that Palmer would say outrageous things in his articles to get people to write. Then he'd debate them and keep it going, keep interest in the magazine. Now, Binder, if you never heard of him, by the way, he wrote sci-fi and comic book scripts. So he wrote for the original Captain Marvel. You know, now the character Shazam was known as Captain Marvel before Marvel Comics came out with a female version of a character. So the original Captain Marvel, he wrote a lot of the scripts for that, including one featuring a character called Scorpion, a villain called Scorpion, and that was the focus of a 1941 movie serial, The Adventures of Captain Marvel, with Tom Tyler, a Western star, as Captain Marvel. Otto Binder also co-created Supergirl and the Legion of Superheroes. So in the first pilot episode of the Supergirl TV show, there's a scene where Supergirl is showing herself, displaying herself to the world, and she saves a plane flying over the Otto Binder Bridge. You know, one of the typical Easter eggs of the comic book-based TV shows, Otto Binder. He also wrote UFO books, factual UFO books as well. Richard Shaver, I wish I had all the letters I had from him, but I had them in a file cabinet in a business office I owned in Pennsylvania. I pulled out of the business, and my former partner threw out the file cabinet. Hundreds of letters of Shaver, his rock books, all the other stuff.
Interesting, yeah. Yeah, Richard Sharp Shaver was born in Berwick, Pennsylvania, and that was my hometown. Also, Nick Adams, the Rebel, is buried in Berwick, Nicholas Adamshock. So that's our Berwick, Pennsylvania claim to fame. You know, small little town in northeastern Pennsylvania, but Richard Sharp Shaver was there. And in Richard Tirano's book, War Over Lemuria, Richard would talk about how wonderful his life was in Berwick, how we would run up and kiss the girls on the cheek, and, you know, how we would just sit on the porch and watch people go by. And, you know, back in the day when people did that. But interesting narrative. Berwick was like a little bit of Mayberry. Then, of course, he claimed that when he was welding, that he could hear these telepathic messages coming from underneath, and that started the whole thing. But just an interesting narrative. I really wish that you know, I had the money or the resources to put together a documentary on Ray Palmer and Richard Sharp Shaver, because I just think it would be the greatest story ever told. So. And just like the Natus is the man from Mars. I mean, you know, so many people have never heard about Ray Palmer, but yet Rap was somebody that was front and center of the movement and is significant and, you know, just, you know, wonderful personality.
You know, his popularity was so high in the 40s and early 50s. A comic book writer created a character called Ant. And this was a guy who wore this costume that made him miniaturized, okay? Mm-hmm. And the scientist who did this was given the name Ray Palmer, in honor of the real Ray Palmer. More interesting, there were some so-called Arrowverse TV shows on the CW network featuring Brandon Ralph as Ray Palmer. And you got to imagine the difference here. The real Ray Palmer was a hunchback in his 4 feet or so. Whereas Brandon Routh, who played in Superman Returns as Superman, is 6'2". You know, a hulking guy playing Superman, and he played in this. But the reason the character was named Ray Palmer, again, is because they paid honor to the guy we knew. As for Richard Shaver, I did meet him once. And there's an interview in a magazine that's available online where I talked to him. And he was a very pleasant, nice guy. He actually had learned over the years to be a pretty decent writer. He wrote for my magazine, and we had to do very little editing. He was clear, easy to understand, really smart guy. We enjoyed knowing him, and I remember interviewing him, and we got to the end, and I said, well, I guess this is the last question. He says, yes, I have to go get a cigarette. And that was the end of the interview.
Yeah, buried in Arkansas. In Arkansas. Was planning to go up there and, you know, see his final resting place. And there's a documentary being put together on Palmer and Richard Sharp Schaefer by Dean Bertram, Dr. Dean Bertram. He has the Talking Weird podcast. So that's going to be coming together relatively soon.
Dean was on our show, it's been a couple of months ago.
Yeah. And he interviewed me about my connection with Richard Sharp Schaefer, you know, being born in Berwick and, you know, and that. And I think what I did, at least in Berwick, at least in northeastern Pennsylvania, I sort of like introduced the folks to Richard Sharp Schaefer because nobody had ever heard of him. And I felt that he deserved more than just being an obscure footnote, you know, in history, but certainly an interesting character and, you know, an accomplished. And even today, he's viewed as an outsider artist. And some of his rock books and some of the things that he did are in display in places like Berkeley and New York. And so, you know, he's getting recognition now in certain communities more as an artist than as an author. So that's sort of interesting. I mean,
interesting about the rock books. Yeah, they were supposed to contain crystallized writings from the ancients. And, of course, nowadays, of course, we use silicon and everything. We do embed things in crystal in a way with our computers. But he had his rock books, and he sent us the rock books with techniques of viewing them, and we saw stuff in them. I know everything of Schaefer and his claims of meeting Diros and Tiros, under-earth people. We didn't have the rock books. It was in that file cabinet I no longer have. But my first wife, Geneva, and I would look at those books, and we'd see images of something or other. Not Rorschach tests. It was more than that. So,
Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh.
So maybe Schaefer was a little crazy. Maybe he just told of his experiences in a way he thought would appeal to people, and certainly with the help of Ray Palmer, who wanted to popularize everything and sell some books. But he seemed very sincere, and he was definitely onto something.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea what, but he was definitely onto something.
Yeah. He had some sort of a library. He would go and lend you these books, these rock books. So he would send them to you through the mail and all that. So that was pretty wild. You know, his rock books of Atlantis and all that.
We were recipients. Yes, indeed. Like I said, I wish I had them. We could surely have a lot of fun talking with that on the Paracast, but unfortunately, the person who threw out my file cabinet, we don't want to mention him. Gene, Maxim, Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read one. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered from a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious, he almost died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives that were more affordable, he tried Extendivite. Since taking it, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
USA News Update.
This tragic mistake was made, but obviously this is not an outcome that anybody wanted to see.
You're listening to White House National Security Council spokesman John Kirby reacting to the Israeli military mistakenly killing three Israeli hostages during combat in Gaza. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu calling it an unbearable tragedy. Netanyahu implying that hostage release talks are continuing today.
My goal, as you know, in our conversations, is to see how we can help the present the remaining hostages.
To Capitol Hill now, where members of the Biden administration and Senate negotiators continue to meet about aid to Israel, aid to Ukraine, and aid for our southern border. Republicans have blocked this funding bill and will only vote for it if it includes stricter border regulations. And I'm Laura Winters, USA News. I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau d'Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
Hi, this is Tracy Torme, screenwriter, producer. You're listening to Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
What a strange world the early days of the UFO field were. All these strange characters, you know, Palmer, of course, Fate Magazine, Kenneth Arnold's involvement with Palmer. If you look at the first issue of Fate Magazine, which, by the way, has been reprinted, and the current publisher of Fate still sells it. But if you look at the first issue, a couple of articles from Kenneth Arnold in there. And then, of course, there is that book, The Coming of the Saucers by Palmer and Arnold, where he talks about this weird Maury Island thing.
Oh, yeah. And so I'm trying to think, who's the name of the individual there that supposedly was one of the possible shooters in the assassination? I'm trying to think who that was.
Let me take you to the story. One of the people who would write regular letters to Amazing Stories was a guy named Fred Lee Chrisman. That's the person we're talking about.
He was one
of the tugboat people in Maury Island, involved in that. He later did, a conservative radio talk show, and there was a rumor that he might have been one of the so-called hobo characters seen during the Kennedy assassination. Mm-hmm. I mean, weird. I had a friend of mine who was no longer around, who was doing research into Fred Chrisman, but too bad he's no longer here. I would have loved to have talked to him about that subject. Because it was strange. This guy was a strange character. Like I said, from Ray Palmer to Maury Island to the Kennedy assassination, what a strange affair.
I know. He was every place, yeah. And supposedly he was the character that they based the Invaders on, the TV series. Or he claimed that it was about him. So there was some connection between Fred Chrisman and the Invaders. Do you remember that series?
I do.
Okay.
It was something, I don't think they ever resolved it. It was one of those TV series that ends too early.
Yeah. Yeah, we're still being invaded. The one thing you mentioned, you said that the 1933, when Grush was talking about the Vatican and the saucers, what's happening with that? Has that been debunked? Is there any documentation or any validity to that? You know, Mussolini's saucer back in 33?
It was, you know, that was based on some papers that were released sometime in the early 2000s that supposedly was taken from, you know, like the Italian archives.
Yeah.
But I think much like the MJ-12 papers, that there are inconsistencies in how it was typewritten and the sources and government stamps that don't correspond with actual ones that are still in the archives.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and you know, I mean, that was part of a series of alleged UFO crashes that were captured by the Axis powers. There was one supposedly that had crashed in Poland. Maybe even earlier than that. That was more rocket shaped that the Germans got a hold of. But you know, during that, these are stories kind of like the Philadelphia experiment that really didn't surface until years. Many years later.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting. You know, again, I'm waiting for, Grush to reveal more of his story. And, and we'll see what happens. But we've had, what is it, July? 4 months now since they had the congressional UFO hearings. Nothing so far.
You know, his whole thing, it's for what purpose does it serve? It just always seemed kind of rather odd.
Yeah.
That he would come forward at this time with this information, but as we discussed earlier in the program, so far nothing, at least revealed publicly, to back it up.
Correct. Yeah.
And so, I mean, what if this guy was involved in a hoax? Why?
So that's exactly the question. I mean, so yeah. What's his motivation? I mean, mm-hmm. it's not money. He already got his 15 minutes of fame. To what end? You know, I think a lot of people are just looking at him and just, just wondering just how truthful and authentic he is. Yeah.
Well, and you had said earlier in the program, too, that people were taking what he was saying without any real debunking or skepticism, I suppose, would be the word. But I think that those, you know, like in Congress who have been talking with him are probably impressed that he does have the credentials, that, you know, he's not hiding behind, you know, like a fake military record and everything like that. But of course, I mean, you know, just because he was in the various branches of the military that he says he was, does that necessarily mean that did have access to that kind of, you know, ultra top secret information?
The one thing that makes guys like Grush believable is that they can talk the talk. They know the rhetoric. They know the language, the vocabulary, that technical military jargon. And similar to people like, say, Al Bielak, who did the same thing, Bob Lazar did the same thing. And again, they sort of talk over our heads because we're not engineers and scientists, and we don't know about, you know, reverse engineering spacecraft and all that. But they do, and they can talk in those terms and those themes, and it's almost like they're talking above us or around us. They're talking a good talk, and at this point, that's what it is. It's a good talk. So,
but they're not walking about it, as far as that's concerned. I mean, Lazar. is mostly dismissed for making elaborate claims. We don't really take him too seriously. We did try to get him on the Paracast once, but he's no longer doing interviews. But he'd have to answer some hard questions. Grush, I don't know. I'm on the fence about Grush because he seems sincere enough, but the talking about that 33 episode and then not producing anything. And I think one of the concerns about the congressional hearings is that congressmen didn't have the power to subpoena someone to appear at a SCIF, one of those secured rooms, to talk to them under deep security. Because someone like Senator Marco Rubio, being on the Intelligence Committee, as I recall, would have the power to talk to someone about intelligence information. He would have the authority and the clearance, he and other people he worked with. So I don't know. The thing is here, there's a story where he was interviewed by Elizabeth Vargas on a TV network called News Nation, which is a news network that is sort of like a more centered version of Fox News. It has conservative leanings, but not as far as a Fox News or Newsmax or anything like that. And he described himself, I guess, as being frustrated that he wasn't being taken more seriously, but we're back to the same thing again. Is any point served by someone saying, I have this information, forgetting a 1933 episode, of course, I have this information, but I cannot give you that information unless I'm put in a secure environment where I'm allowed to reveal it. Mm-hmm. So is there any point?
I don't know. I'm wondering if the rest of the world is as frustrated as I am. You know, I mean, I'm frustrated and I'm angry. And I mean, you know, I want more and I deserve more. And I think I'm just getting played. So, I don't know.
Ha. Hey, we're going to know more in our next segment. And we're talking to Maxim Furyk, Gene Steinberg, Tim Schwartz. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
The Silver Lungs Generator is the only all-encompassing professional class product for producing endless colloidal and ionic silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. With recent regulations threatening the sale of silver-based supplements, now you can secure yourself and your family by producing your own silver solutions anywhere, anytime. You can have the peace of mind knowing that you can create endless supply of silver anytime, anywhere, for any application. The Silver Lungs Generator is a one-time purchase that requires no maintenance nor replacement parts for the life of the unit. This product was designed to be an invaluable part of your vital preparations. For a detailed report on the differences between ionic silver, colloidal silver, and what most silver solution manufacturers are producing, please visit our website at www.silverlungs.com for more information on why you should be producing your own silver solutions right from your home forever.
Most folks don't realize this fact. Our country is only 4 missed meals away from chaos, and those meals can vanish fast. In a national emergency, fragile supply chains break down and will wipe grocery store shelves clean in a matter of hours. Before this happens, there's something you should do today. Let's stock up on emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply is the company millions of American families trust for their emergency supplies. You should, too. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each kit contains delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and other survival necessities. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship the same day, fast. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Those who know what's coming, prepare before the chaos starts. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only 2 documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Hi, this is James Fox, director of The Phenomenon and Moment of Contact. You're listening to The Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
By the way, before we go on, Maxim, we'll stick with us for the After the Paracast podcast, which is available to Paracast Plus subscribers. One more thing. We did a second After the Paracast interview with our staff announcer, Bob Zanotti, about 2 fascinating encounters with a psychic and a medium some years back. Fascinating episode, an extra After the Paracast special, again, only available to subscribers of the Paracast Plus. Maxim, we gather, like a lot of people who follow UFO lore, you're frustrated we haven't gone much of anywhere. Do you think this government project is going to take anything towards a solution, or is it going to be, we'll rename it, we'll change the personnel, we'll screw around with the laws that put it into existence, and nothing ever gets resolved?
Well, I think we're going to find some of the answers with the through the scientific community, and hopefully they're doing their due diligence, and they're, you know, investigating and exploring, and they're going to have some revelations. The other thing, I think the financial community can go and make a mark. And by that, I mean they need to go and take a look at some of these. Like you said, the Department of Defense just came up with their budget, and we have to see where the money's going. And there's probably these projects, these programs that are dark ops, black ops, that we don't know anything about. They keep on changing the names, but they're still being funded. And if we could find out who's being funded and for what purpose, I think that's going to reveal something. So, again, we don't know because a lot of the stuff is just like it's a whole morass of legalese and documentation. So that's what I think is going to happen. That's how we're going to find some of the results. One of the problems is, and when you take a look at something like Kexburg and the Freedom of Information Act, every time we go and people like Stan Gordon and other people have tried to get information from the government about what happened, it's all either lost, it's been conveniently lost or misplaced, or it's been redacted. You know, we've seen that with Roswell. We've seen the explanations with Project Mogul and, Skyhook. And decades later, all these explanations, something happened in Roswell, but, you know, what exactly was it? What do we know? Back in the 50s, they claimed that if America knew that there were alien extraterrestrials out there, that we couldn't take it, that we just couldn't handle that knowledge, that it would turn organized religion upside down and everything that we believe in would be challenged. You know, I mean, they viewed us as being very naive and immature and unable to handle the truth. And so now it's been, you know, 50 some years later, and we're still waiting for the government to treat us, you know, as adults, as tax-paying patriots and citizens, you know, who deserve to know the answers. And so I think your listeners are waiting to hear something, you know, to get some answers to their questions. And but like I said earlier, I'm, you know, I've written to Marco Rubio. I'm going to start corresponding with some of these politicians to see what information I can get. You know, I'm going to make a serious attempt at doing this. And that's one of my projects, just to try to sort of force the issue and get more information if it's to be had. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But like I said, if I come up with anything, I'll certainly, you know, share the news, the plethora of information with you guys. So we'll see what happens.
Well, I just hope that one century we might find something that will give us an answer. I kind of think the UFO mystery is the kind of thing that just will go on and on and on. And 50 years from now, if we're still alive, which we probably won't be, people will be talking about UFOs.
Yeah. Well, you know, Gene, the last time we spoke in May of this year, you know, you asked me, might have been after the program, but do you think we'll ever find out the answer? And you said, do you think we'll ever find it out in our lifetime? And that was a great conversation. I mean, I hope so. You know, I hope that we would, but or at least get a little bit closer. Right now, the closest we have is that out of all these UFOs that we're seeing, these UAPs that we're seeing, what is it that 3% we can identify that, and the theories, the plausibilities are that they're either ours or they belong to, say, Russia, China, or Iran, or they're extraterrestrial. There's probably another thing, too. They could be interdimensional. It could be that Albert Einstein wormhole theory, that there's wormholes through the space-time continuum, and that maybe people or things travel through those. Maybe Bigfoot and UFOs travel through that wormhole, and that's why they shape-shift and they go from here to there. They bio-locate from here to there. So, I mean, we don't have anything else. As far as theories, you know, that's sort of the best one, and that was from the 1930s, Albert Einstein. So, you know, I don't think there's been much else, and all we're looking for is some theories that may apply to some of these anomalies that so many people are seeing. And I'll tell you what, think about, you know, this isn't about Bigfoot, but maybe it's all the same, you know, part of that tapestry, that paranormal tapestry that I like to use that word. But we have neighbors, and we went out to dinner with these neighbors back in Pennsylvania. And the one guy, he's a medical technician, and he said, yeah, I saw two Bigfoot. I said, what? He saw two Bigfoot creatures, one, a black one that was bigger than the cinnamon-colored ones. And I asked them all these questions, and they turned around. They looked at him like they were curious, and then they walked away. He said they walked not like bear or animals. They walked sort of like people. And then I contacted Stan Gordon, because Stan's the man, and I gave him that information. And then Stan contacted my neighbor and did the questionnaire and all this. So anyway, that's in my backyard. I mean, that's like, you know, right where I live. And I never thought of Luzerne County, Pennsylvania, as being any kind of an epicenter for Bigfoot. But, you know, there's plenty of mountain and woods there. So who knows? Anyway, that's my story. That's the you know, closest I've come to anything you know, Bigfoot related.
Well, I have to tell you something here. I've never seen a Bigfoot. I've talked to people who've seen Bigfoot, big feet, Bigfoot type creatures, and you never know. You never know. And the problem, I guess, we have with all of this, Maxim, is human perception is so very erratic. People see something, but we have to get kind of a compendium of different interpretations to get a real picture of what was seen. If one person reports something strange, maybe there are other explanations. Who knows? Maybe it's a homeless man in the woods, because we have hundreds of thousands of people in the U.S. alone who are homeless. And we are sure they don't shave, or a lot of them don't shave. Maybe they don't have a full set of clothing, and they'll look like a mess. And if they happen to be tall and they see them in the forest, they could be a Bigfoot.
Yeah, and back in the early days, they always talked about these wild men. People like Tim Renner, Bigfoot guys like Tim Renner, feel that maybe those wild men were actually Bigfoot. I mean, we don't know.
Maxim Furyk, it's been great having you back on the show. Tell our listeners where they can find more information about you.
Yeah, thanks, Gene and Tim. Yes, I really appreciate being on the Paracast. You can check out my website. It's www.maximfurek.com, M-A-X-I-M-F-U-R-E-K. Or if you like, you could go and contact Amazon, and you could purchase my books, Flying Saucer Esoteric, The Altered States of Ufology, or Coal Region Hoodoo, Paranormal Tales from Inside the Pit. You could purchase those also from Amazon. So take your pick. Yeah, if you want an autographed copy, contact me on my website, and it would be great. And remember, folks, if you do purchase any of my books, please feel free to do a comment on Amazon. It means a lot to us authors. So thank you.
You can find us on X. You can find us on Threads. You can find us on Facebook if you look for The Paracast. You can buy branded merchandise at theparacast.store with four different logos to choose from. You can sign up for The Paracast Plus at theparacast.plus. Get this show without the network ads with better audio and the exclusive bonus after The Paracast podcast. We never know what's going to happen next. We have that special extra with Bob Zanotti about a couple of psychic experiences he had. Maxim Furyk will be back with us. The lowest prices ever for the Paracast Plus, the Paracast.plus to sign up for the Paracast.plus. Maxim Furyk, thanks for joining us on the Paracast.
Thank you, Gene. I appreciate it.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.